This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Man, a good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right, man. It has been quite a morning. You know, it's you asked that question, and we both know the answer, right?
Yeah. Well, I almost feel like it's almost like an inside joke every single episode because, you know, this is always like our weekly like check-in with one another. And it was back when we were in the same city, but like even more so now. It's like right before we kind of share like the past traumas of the week and just life in general and all everything right. that's going on. And then we're like, all right, let's go do a show.
That's exactly right. It's so funny, man. It's a joy to get to do this with you every week, but occasionally we have our own little hiccups and things like that, but we pull it together and then we get to share it with all our friends that are very gracious.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and address that right up at the front and also to kind of help build some hype for next week's episode. Those of you who tuned in on Facebook earlier today, I think we might have put it out on Twitter as well, and of course our YouTube subscribers, everybody got real hyped because they found out that Lee Von Erich is actually coming on Country Squire Radio. And our hope and desire was for that to actually happen this week on this particular episode that you're listening to. However, as gremlins got in the system, to quote Lee on that one, you know, sometimes you just got to shoot all the gremlins before you can actually get the thing working right. So unfortunately, due to a myriad of technical issues that occurred, we don't have that episode this week. However, we do have that for next week. I'm confident that in like 7 days time, I will be able to exterminate the gremlins. I'm fairly confident. I'm like 85% sure. 80% sure. Definitely 70% sure.
What? what kills gremlins, Bo? Is it garlic, or do you have to use like a spear, or is it a Google related weapon, or I mean, like, what is it, do we need our friends to be praying for us in a certain way, or
that one always? But I'll say this
always,
one.
Always correct.
I never saw the Gremlins movie, so I don't actually know. I think it has something to do with music. I can't recall. We're gonna get some feedback on that. but that's all right, man. We love getting feedback. In fact, we've got two episodes coming up beyond that one as well that is very, very listener feedback driven. We have got a pipe culture episode continuing our Places series all about the porch. Of course, the Pipe Culture Places series is where we kind of take a look at the various places that people enjoy their pipes. And we're really looking forward to this next one on the porch. We've already gotten some great feedback. And so that will actually probably be in about 2 weeks' time. So be sure to go ahead and get those emails into us sharing your thoughts on the porch. What memories do you have? What visualizations come to mind? Could be even just something from pop culture, maybe in a book or a movie or something of that nature. We just love sharing kind of that shared consciousness as we explore deeper into pipe culture. And in this upcoming one, the porch. Be sure, by the way, to put pipe culture in the porch or pipe culture places, one of those two things, in the actual subject so that I'm able to find it when searching through the emails.
Yes.
Man, it's going to be a good one. Man, I know you're really excited, though, for this other one that we're really kind of looking forward to. Based out of last week's episode.
Yeah.
Man, it's going to be fun. We're doing a Pipe Shop Fails that is going to be listener-driven. That means we want to hear your stories of your worst pipe shop experiences. Now, this is... Man, even as I feel dirty saying that. I'm not going to lie.
I know, right? I know.
we're not looking for, like, don't name names, okay? Like, you don't have to name names. We don't want you to name names. If you put names in there, we're probably not going to read the names. I mean, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's right. We just, you know, we want to know about odd and confusing and funny and frustrating and all the great fail experiences that we come to know and love on Country Squire Radio. But you know, we want to keep it kind of anonymous. Right. Yeah. I mean, we do.
Yeah.
People have hiccups, you know, here and there. And so, you know, I'm kind of expecting, frankly, that some of the pipe shop fails will involve the Country Squire. And that would be very
appropriate. I've got some stories. I've got one that just came to mind even as you said that. It involves the hurricane and heavy artillery.
Boy, I look forward to hearing it, and I probably already know what it is. But
yeah. Right. Anyway, we want to hear from y'all, though. We really want that one to be driven by y'all's stories. So send those in. Use Pipe Shop Fails in the title. We'll be reading some of those. And, man, there's a event coming up here in the Houston area. The Houston Pipe Club is getting together on July 5th, right after the 4th of July, at Stogie's on Westheimer at 6 p.m. I will be there. You know, a lot of great Country Squire listeners up there. Man, I was blown away. I think I mentioned this before, but when I went to the Houston Pipe Club meetup, like seeing all of these folks that like I've either seen through the internet or many of them met in person, either through pipe pilgrimages or at some of the pipe shows. I had no clue there was such a vibrant community here. And I'm really looking forward to July 5th to go into this and connecting more with those guys.
That's so great. You know, Houston is now... It's been the fourth largest city in the United States. It may have just eclipsed Chicago as the third largest. I think it's New York, LA, and then either Houston or Chicago. I can't remember which. But you know, it's a huge. I mean, it's a gigantic city. Yeah. And you know, just area wise, population wise, there's so many people from different walks of life. It's in the South, but has its own kind of curious culture, and is very cosmopolitan. So you don't really feel like you would in, you know, Georgia or Louisiana or something like that. But it's an interesting city, and a big pipe culture there, like you said, man, it's just huge. And you, as a new transplant, dude, you're spoiled. You know, it's great.
Yeah, from Jackson to Houston, man.
I know, right? Yeah, our you know, commute that we complain about over here is you know, it takes us an extra, you know, 12 minutes to get to the Piggly Wiggly because there's Ooh. You know, a block on the on Lakeland Drive or something.
Man, no, that's it's definitely a different ball game. But if you are in the Houston area or surrounding areas, come on out July 5th. I think I'm okay to say that. I've only been to one meeting, but I'm sure they wouldn't mind me promoting it out. Houston Pipe Club, July 5th at Stogie's on Westheimer at 6 p.m. I will be there. And if it's your first time going and you heard about it, come up, say hey. You'll know me. I'll be wearing my gray cap, and that's a good way to find me. What about that? The shop, man. What's going on at the shop?
Dude, we are so thrilled, man. Of course, our 49th anniversary for the Country Squire is going to be, our birthday is actually on August 11th, but we are hosting a big event on August 15th there at the shop. It's going to be from 6 to 9 p.m., and we are thrilled to announce that Max Stokeby with Scandinavian Tobacco Group and Lane Tobacco will be there with all kinds of awesome tobaccos to sample, but also deals on STG 10 tobaccos, and many other things, some giveaways and freebies and things like that. Also going to have the folks from General Cigar, which feature, you know, some of the most well-known brands in the cigar world, brands like Cohiba, CAO, La Gloria Cubana, Punch, Diesel. These are great, great cigar brands that will be there as well. Live music, have some food. It's going to be just a lot of fun, man. So we're really thrilled. That's on August 15th. It's a Thursday night from 6 to 9 p.m. So if you're in the area, in our local area, please come. If you're, you know, one of our surrounding states or happen to be passing through that day, you know, be a good time to make a pilgrimage and all that stuff. But we would love to have you.
Well, hey, before we jump into today's topic, I got to give like a major shout out to all the folks that have been supporting us on Patreon, the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club. Man, it's been growing and going, and it's been keeping us growing and going. And
that's right.
Even as we mentioned at the top of the show with kind of running into technical issues today, I was just thinking like, man, I'm so grateful that we have like a support structure and, you know, the ability, because sometimes in order to do the things we need to do, like, money's required. Like,
it's going
to require new equipment and new services and all this stuff. And big time. But I was thinking, even as I was kind of trying to troubleshoot like our backup to the backup to the backup in this scenario, and then just realizing like, okay, there are other services. Yes, they ain't cheap, but thanks to the support of our patrons, we can do this kind of thing. We can make sure that we're bringing not just a slap together show, but actually a professional quality show that people can enjoy. So anyway, big thanks to those of you who are supporting us. And if you haven't done so already, head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio. Consider becoming a patron or a club member. You get some great stuff for doing it. And honestly, we could not do this without you. And so thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yep.
All right, man, we have got an awesome topic. This is going to be very, I feel like we're going into kind of Country Squire Radio surrealism here. did I use that word right?
That's terrifying, you know, when you think about it. Like the Country Squire Radio surrealism. I feel like we're going to, it could be trippy, right? Is that right?
We're going to take a trip through the stars. That's what we're going to do there. We've only got
Is that like just, your John Lennon voice or something? Or
It was actually. So the fact that you knew it, that helped.
That's
but no,
fantastic. No, that's good.
We're going to the future, ladies and gentlemen. Country Squire Radio goes back to the future. We're going to take a look at what pipe smoking could mean in the next 50 or so years. And it's interesting that we chose 50. There's a lot of thought that goes into this because there is kind of this desire when you think of the future. You know, you tend to like want to kind of cascade out to, you know, holograms and flying cars and that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The reality is what's probably more interesting to us is what you can actually predict and project about the industry within a reasonable amount of time so that it's far enough away that it is a legitimate chunk of time, but it is like within sight. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's sure. I mean, I think that's fair. And it's one of those things where, you know, we have to prognosticate. I mean, it, you know, you've got, remember going to like Disney World and seeing all those crazy things about what they thought the future would be like. And, you know, in 2020 and, you know, back from the 1950s kind of thing. And it's like, no, we don't use flying hovercrafts yet, you know, at least not commonly. Right. You know, there aren't blimps attaching themselves to the tops of office towers to tote people around and things like that. But you know, I think, you know, forecasting some of this stuff is fun and a worthwhile thing.
Well, and to look forward, you know, first you got to have to kind of touch on the past as well. I mean, you know, without going into a full-on history level lesson, John David, how would you kind of define or describe kind of the ebbs and flows of pipe smoking from its rise to its fall to the modern era? That's
yeah,
a lot.
I know. Yeah, like, and it, you know, it, I don't know. Fall might be kind of a tough word, but certainly you know, the smaller market that we see today. Of course, you know, back in if you look at pipe smoking in the 19th century, it was the preferred method for most of civilized society to, you know, consume tobacco products. Of course, you had other things like chew and nasal snuff and, you know, eventually cigarettes and things of that nature. But, you know, for most of the civilized world and certainly, you know, historically going back to, you know, the colonial days and the Native American empires and things of that nature, it was certainly mostly pipe related, and that continued through the majority of the 20th century. And so, you know, think about, you know, going to the grocery store to shop for lettuce, right? And imagine in your mind standing next to someone that's palming, you know, different apples and bananas to pick out the one that they want to take home to cook dinner with. Like, and the guy that's doing that next to you is smoking a pipe. Like, that, right. That was a thing, man.
Yeah.
You know, and some of our listeners can probably, you know, probably remember those days, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we see it even kind of in the way in which, you know, you're right. Fall's too hard of a word, but there is definitely a prevalence of the pipe in the past that goes so far as to when we think of a grandfatherly archetype of today, generally that person is smoking a pipe, right? I mean, like it's what do you call it when there's like a visual cue to let you know more about somebody than actually explaining it? You know what I'm talking about?
Is it like an avatar or something? Or
something like that. But basically it's kind of like a quick way to jump to, oh, this person has a pipe, you know, they've been around, they're wise, you know, it establishes a connection to a bygone era with someone who is of age to have been of that era. And I think to its benefit, and may I also say to its detriment?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, as the world got you know, more and more fast-paced, and you know, certainly through the advent of technology, computers, and the internet, and everything, I think there is a correlation to some of that technological kind of progression, and then also the, you know, people putting away their pipes in order to you know, consume other things like, you know, cigars or you know, cigarettes or things of that nature that were more kind of tailor-made, easier to pick up, light, consume, and move on about your day kind of thing. There is a relaxation, you know, component to cigars, a meditative component there. But we can all agree, I think cigar folks would agree, it's different from a pipe, right? And so it's much more kind of plug and play, whereas the pipe is an experience and a it's a full ritual that you kind of have to go through. And so as the world gets more and more, you know, it kind of modulated and automated and all these things, and you know, quick, you know, intertwined with, you know, technology and all this stuff. We did see a huge, you know, session, and certainly in the 90s, there, early 90s on through the early 2000s, where people were putting their pipe away. But the pendulum, we have seen it, as you know, you kind of described the modern renaissance. It has swung back some. It's not the, you know, 1970s where people are walking through the grocery store shopping for lettuce, smoking their pipe. Of course, they're not doing that smoking their cigar either. But, you know, it has come back some, I think, as a response to the kind of overwhelming, you know, almost a shock. It's almost like a correction, and like the stock market corrects itself. It's almost
interesting, like a balancing.
It's balancing it out. Almost repulsion might be too much of a word, but, you know, folks are, they got into the tech stuff, they got into the automation stuff, they got into the connected stuff and the quick efficiency stuff, and I think in some sense they all of a sudden started craving a reconnection to something that was slower and more methodical and more liturgical, more you know, ritualistic, something that could ground them right into you know, a rhythm. And so we've seen that pendulum swing a little bit back into the pipe, and this modern resurgence that we see, the excitement that we see around the pipe, and what's neat is that technology obviously gets to play a role in that, but it's a different role, right? Mm-hmm. It through the 90s we had it kind of push people away from the pipe to other forms, and now, you know, as people reconnect, they're looking for something more stable, something more timeless, something that connects them with the past and history and even themselves. But you know, it bringing them back, they get to use technology to connect with one another, but you know, have these personal times where they sit with their pipe and have their moment of meditation, where, you know, that season, that little bit is going to look different for them, and it all revolves around this thing that we love, the pipe. Yeah.
And I think there is kind of that also just ebb and flow of, like, desired consumption method. When you think about, yeah, you know, in terms of, you know, the cigars and pipes in general, but pipe in particular, because of the, it's like the vinyl record, right? Like it's not, it takes some care. It takes some process. There's some equipment that's involved to make this work. And once you're done with it, you have to take care of it. Not just it, but also the record player, and also, you know, how you're storing
that's
records.
Right.
Like there's an entire process here. And so then, as you say, automation comes along to make things, you know, smoother, faster, mass produced, you know, get those, you know, quick cigarettes, get that quick nicotine hit. And then that quick availability leads to kind of more, and I'm not saying this for everybody, but more gluttonous practices, which comes to kind of an abuse of something that was once good. And so, you know, you have that aspect.
That's a great way to put that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that completely pushes the pipe to the side, because the pipe doesn't communicate, you know, get it quick, get as much as you can. The pipe very much is like, no, this takes work and practice, and there's an art form to it. And that kind of goes beyond that. And then we have kind of this combination of things, right? Because you do have kind of the health push and a lot of kind of this, you know, tobacco scares and all that kind of concept as well. And more healthy practices is good. And I would actually argue that the more healthy practice and the more healthy mindset leads people away from kind of the quick, fast, mass consumption and into more of like a pipe as
something like the pipe. That's correct.
Exactly. And so I think it's actually a beautiful thing. And so we're experiencing that now.
It's interesting, you know, taking that kind of, you know, where we went, where we were, where we went, where we've come back to, and now looking into the future, there's a lot of things that are working together here, and you know, so when we do kind of forecast, we're going into the future here, it's like, well, how are these things going to work together? Because we are seeing a resurgence of pipe smoking. We are. It's the pendulum is swinging. There's interest. It's a growing market. It's a very different market than it was 40 years ago, but it is a growing market. And so, you know, how much will that continue to grow? And then how is that growth and how is that increased interest going to be affected by what you mentioned, kind of the greater health push that, you know, is, you know, it driven by people that are anti-tobacco, frankly, and maybe aren't familiar with the benefits of a pipe in specific. You know, so you've got that kind of general, you know, no smoking, American Cancer Society, healthy, you know, you're, you know, do your life insurance and have to stay off nicotine. nicotine and all these kind of things. And so you've got that kind of wave pushing against, but still there seems to be this kind of resonating with a pipe that is holding its own against some of that. So it's interesting.
Think about what that is today in response to, because it's not in response to the pipe. And honestly, it's not even in response to cigarettes, which, again, you know, if you've listened to the show, you know, I am an anti-cigarette person.
Yeah, sure.
But like that, the big push that's going on now, it has everything to do, starts with a V, with vaping. Like everything. And, you know, and you look at even like vaping in terms of kind of the technology trying to kind of, I don't want to say technology wedging its way in. That's the wrong thing. But vaping as a whole seems to try to be wedging its way in as kind of a response to the last 20 or so years. Right. And so, and while it definitely has kind of a bit of a moment and a bit of a heyday, it feels to me, and I'm going to make a lot of media comparisons, because I really think that we can pull from media and look at like how that, what the trajectory is in terms of art form. Cause I think that pipe smoking to some extent is an art form. And I think that there's a connection here.
Yeah.
If you look at, like, to me, vaping is 3D movies. Like remember like a couple years ago when like, oh, 3D is new again.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, oh, the 3D TV and the curved.
That's right.
TV.
You're going to buy this like $4,500 TV that you have to wear all these glasses for and this stuff. And it's very kind of a complicated Baroque situation to have a worse experience than you would have otherwise.
Exactly. And I'm not saying that, you know, I mean, eventually we got 4K. So I'm not saying that, you know, who knows what the future of vaping is. This is not the future of vaping podcast. This is not what we're jumping into. So who knows where it lands. But I mean, if you go back now, because we just recently did this, we finally got a 4K TV. I feel like I'm trying to catch up with the rest of the world here. Are you 4K yet?
We are not. We don't watch a lot of TV anyway in our house.
Yeah.
But, you know, so we're still, I think our TV was purchased in like, I don't know, 2011 or something.
Gotcha. Well, we just got a 4K TV. It's a game changer. But in the process, I was doing as much research as possible. And I was like, oh, these curved TVs. I remember they were all the thing. I saw them at CES back in the day. And, you know, Tony Stark had one in like the second Iron Man movie. And they are all on sale now because everybody realized how trash they are. Like, you have to be sitting in one specific space to actually see the video, but it was like all the rage and all the thing, and it had its heyday and that sort of deal. Vaping to me feels like this. So I kind of look at it from the standpoint of, because now the sky's the limit in terms of, you know, let me put it this way. Actually, let me backtrack that a little bit. Because of the way that, if we look at kind of music and media and the fact that if we are in media now where tobacco was in the 90s, where it's just like all over the place, mass consumption methods and that sort of thing, early 90s, of course.
Yeah.
So that's where we are. And so with the problem that we run into right now in media is we have so much terrible media. We have like all of these really, really just subpar musicians, subpar videos, podcasts. You know, obviously I love podcasts, but like 80% of the podcasts that are out there are awful. They're just awful. They're just not a lot of thought put into it. It's just easy to put out there. And so
as people tune out of Country Squire Radio, I'm just kidding. We think we do a good job.
Well, no, we try. We certainly try. Like, you know, the fact that we put thought into this show puts us a step
above. That's right. A lot of thought. That's right.
A lot of the stuff that's out there. But the reality is that's just the case. Is because it's become such a mass market. So from that standpoint, where is the next step? Where is the course correction? And so for the pipe community, you know, what we've seen is a return to quality. We've seen kind of a return to what made this great kind of originally in terms of the art form, right? And
yeah,
so I think media
true.
Will follow suit. But then the question is, what comes next? What is the next step after the renaissance, the retro, whatever you want to call it, the hipster movement? What comes after this, man?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's and how long does it go for, right? And again, I want to push back on, you know, the hipster movement a little bit. I didn't mean that as a dig.
I did not mean that.
No,
as a dig.
I know. Let me qualify. Let me try to interpret for what I think you meant. And that's you know, the folks kind of returning to a bespoke way of, you know, life and older times and all that kind of stuff, and also being different, trying something old fashioned and all that.
Yeah.
So maybe that's not fair. I don't know, but I think how long does this continued interest and continued growth continue? Yeah, and how does it continue? You know, you've got folks now with the advent of social media that obviously we are educating people on you know, our interest in pipes. People, you know, post, we see as pipe enthusiasts, we're in all these groups on different social media platforms, and we see our pipe smoking friends share this stuff. But what we forget is a lot of times, you know, their friends and our friends that don't smoke pipes are also seeing this stuff, right? And mm-hmm. And so it has a even if these folks aren't smoking a pipe, they might you know, be reintroduced to it at some point, just, you know, by virtue of being kind of around it with folks that are more vocal. And so I don't know. It's something interesting. It'll be interesting to see how the velocity of this growth continues. Certainly, you know, with the, like we mentioned before, the, you know, advent of the healthy stuff and the, you know, and also the, you know, the tech awareness stuff. That's something we hadn't talked about, you know, talked about either. But, you know, as these companies, for good or for bad, I want to say that very clearly, but as they more and more are taking moral stands on things that sometimes we wish they would, sometimes they wish they wouldn't. You know, so you've got these companies that are taking moral stands on things and alienating some of their customers and bringing more customers in because they believe in those things. And so, you know, are companies going to, you know, companies like Google, like Facebook, like YouTube, like iTunes, like, you know, how do they react to the premium tobacco community? And how does that play in with the growth of some of this stuff? Because, you know, that we're very dependent right now on things like Facebook and Instagram and iTunes. And so, you know, how does, you know, if Apple and other folks have ideas about that, what does that future look like? And the answer is, we don't know.
we don't know, but I will say this, and maybe I'm an optimist in this department, but I feel that the byproduct of modern healthier consumption methods means a downgrade of the fear factors and concerns. The reality is that while, you know, while we may be more pipe, because of the prevalence of cigars in kind of a you know, tastemaker society in celebrity culture, like,
yeah,
they're never going to shut down cigars. And if they're not going to shut down cigars, they're not shutting down pipes. You know what I mean? Like, the pipe is not the plague of the common man. You know, whether or not you believe the cigarette ever was is a
interesting
whole discussion in and of itself. And so from that standpoint, like, it's not, I don't think that it will be championed, in at least not in the next 50 years. I just don't see that. There are bigger fish to fry from that standpoint.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, you mentioned the V word earlier, right?
Exactly.
You know, kind of the laser beam focus that the federal government has on
vaping,
this, on the vaping world as a, you know, they do. It is a laser beam focus that is, you know, pointed towards that. Now you're seeing even municipalities and, you know, state and local governments getting in on this as well. And so, but I think you're right. Like, there are enough power brokers that still are fond of premium tobacco in the form of cigars. And so you do, more often than not, I think most people, you know, even the anti-tobacco folks, they do associate pipes and cigars together as opposed to cigarettes. There is some strata there. And so I don't know. I don't know how that works. But like you said, if they don't get rid of the long filler cigar, maybe the pipe goes along with that, you know?
Exactly. Well, so here's what I would suggest. I would suggest that if we look at projecting out the next couple of decades here, that the attention to vaping, like, there's a lot of trickle-down effect to that. We've already seen kind of what that looks like in terms of how vaping is approached. And a lot of this, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of activists out there, I guess, on both sides. There's less out there kind of promoting the education, but there are representatives out there that are trying to promote the education, the separation between the various forms of tobacco and that sort of thing. But here's the deal. That focus and how that trickles out is going to impact the industry in a lot of different ways, some small, some large. What I would argue, though, because I think the consumer really does drive this at the end of the day, I honestly still believe that. And I think if we look at what the consumer looks like and just the industry from that level, not from the back end level, but from the kind of the front end level, I think that we will see a continued evolution and a furthering of the pipe as an art form and boutique as experience. And I'm saying boutique as experience, not boutique experience. And I'll break that down here in just a second. But the pipe is an art form. Father the Flame is very much like right on the money. You know, we gave that a fairly glowing review for one reason and one reason alone. It's outstanding. It's a great, great documentary. But what it does is a taste of what I think that Pipes are going to continue to grow and be, and that is to be seen as an art form. I mean, I really do think that we could see very much kind of pop-up art galleries that are specifically tailored to carved pipes and to crafted pipes. It could be from all over the country. It could be from one individual carver. And an embracing of a market, or embracing by a market that it doesn't currently speak to, which is kind of that... you know, art gala, art installation, what do you call them? Art collective kind of group of folks.
Hearing you say that, it kind of makes me think that almost in some way, of course, you know, pipes are, let's say, 5% of the premium tobacco market in America.
Sure.
In some way, the longevity, the ability for pipes to be longstanding, kind of benefit from that in some sense, because it is seen as rare enough now to be seen as this kind of interesting art form, this cottage industry, this artisan driven thing. And so, you know, maybe it doesn't take over the world again, but maybe for those of us that do enjoy it, the curiosity of it, the foreignness of it, the interest level of it, it kind of, that level, you know, because of the artisanship, both in the tobacco blending, the pipe making, the you know, the ritual of it all, maybe that curiosity is part of its longevity, right?
I honestly believe that it is.
And yeah, I mean, you even mentioned into that.
Well, so you mentioned specifically, like, you know, it's not going to take over the world again. I mean, you know, you and I have had some of these conversations with some of the folks in the industry. And they, you know, they're longing for the days of yesteryear. Like, yeah, no, you know what? Newspapers are not going to be the predominant way that people are ever going to get their news again. You know what I mean? Like, industries rise and fall. Like, you know, we are a capitalist country. You know what I mean? Like, this is, well, we understand that industries grow, change, and the customer base does as well. And there's nothing wrong with that. It is there can be a sadness to it, but there can also be some goodness to it, because there, that longevity does persist.
It persists, and also, what, going back to the point you made, the you know, the prevalence of it, the you know, seeing it everywhere, that may be less, but the quality, it is unquestionable.
Yes, sir.
The quality today of the products being put out is unsurpassed in the history of pipe smoking, and that, yeah, and that's true.
That's exactly
that is
right.
That is true. That goes from the you know, regardless of what, you know, some of these crotchety old blenders have said. I mean, there is quality tobacco out there. The amount of you know, thought that is given into these blends that are being artisanally produced right now, the pipes and the materials that go into these pipes, and the methods of making these pipes, both in a factory and the innovation that's happening in the American carver, like Levon Eric and you know, folks in their backyard, the Jared Coles and the Grant Batsons of the world. I mean, these are people that are putting energy and efforts into their pipes and making livings on them that is unsurpassed in the history of the hobby. You know,
that's right. Well, and then, so it's twofold, though. It's not just about the pipe, but it's also boutique as experience. And this is what I mean by that.
Yeah, explain that. I'm interested in that.
So if you kind of look at, because we've gotten more digital, because we're getting more digital, because, you know, as virtual reality begins to take more into a case, as wearables become more smart wearables, your clothes knowing more about you, that sort of thing. As that continues to grow over the next couple of decades, what is real becomes all that more desired, and with a premium on top of it. And so the benefit of going to the shop, and this, we've already seen this today, but I think this is going to grow exponentially over the next couple of decades. The benefit of going to the shop has nothing to do with buying a product. It has literally nothing to do with buying a product. It has everything to do. I mean, and you might list there and think, well, Bo's full of it. Well, I'm not necessarily talking about you. I'm talking about more of, in a general sense, and kind of a consumer culture. And so from that standpoint, so what we're going to see more and more of, this is me looking into my crystal ball, is the actual experience of the pipe shop becoming more beneficial than the actual products being sold. And so I think that experience in and of itself is going to need to grow. That is in and of itself, as it much is much today, that it's a community center where people are coming together, they're able to enjoy their pipe, that sort of thing. I think that the services or the expectations of that experience will need to kind of go and grow, so that there is going to need to be kind of almost like a, you know, a coffee shop, a bar type of feel to that. You know, I think that there is going to need to be, you know, kind of a luxury-esque experience that's going to fit whatever the art form kind of side of that dictates. The boutique, the boutique as the experience will need to kind of rise up with that and meet that.
You know, and how does
I could be
translate?
Totally wrong. I could be totally wrong.
I mean, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. You know, again, we're talking about kind of Baroque esoteric concepts here, but I mean, how does that translate, Bo, into what we do? I know we're running, we need to wrap it up here shortly, but yeah, you know, translating into what we do, like, so, you know, right now the quality of what we do has to rise, continue to rise to the occasion. It's almost like, you know, when a pipe shop opens, it starts to educate its clientele, but then the clientele gets more sophisticated, and so in order to maintain it, in order to you know, grow it and continue to be successful and beneficial, the pipe shop has to get better because it's pushed by its own clientele that it started, right? And so it's kind of this cyclical thing, right? And so how does that affect media like us, like you know, Country Cry Radio, like you know, Pipes Magazine radio show, like Pipe and Tamper with Mike, and you know, the various forums that are out there, and will these things continue to grow and develop in order to support that kind of boutique thing you're talking about? I think they'd have to, right?
I mean, I would argue that this, without kind of the thought, as much thought put into it today, but I mean, like, looking back to when we started the Pipe Culture series, that really kind of speaks to, I think, the longevity of where, you know, where at least at that point, I think at this point, both we kind of see the consumer going in terms of there needing to be, or not even needing to be, but there needing to be almost like a study of the culture that exists around the pipe, because the culture to some extent will drive the future, not necessarily the product, but the culture that surrounds it. And that'll drive the product, which will overall drive the industry.
And it always does.
Exactly. And so from that standpoint, that's something that we've tried to do. You know, when I think about what I hope that we're doing, you know, in terms of, you know, creating that media to, of course, obviously, yes, more informed consumers. That's always a benefit. But that is the way I see it. That's almost like a byproduct. I want the Country Squire radio listener to be someone who's able to walk away from the show. First and foremost, I believe holistically in podcast as a relationship. So I think that there is a part of the show, which is, you know, you're looking for community, you're looking for a relationship. Well, that's something that naturally happens into that media. And that's a whole nother discussion. I've given talks
and
on that.
And let's be honest. That's why we continue to do this, right?
Exactly.
Is that right there.
Exactly. So that's at the forefront. But I want somebody to walk away from Country Squire Radio getting a picture of the pipe and the various pipe tobaccos and even just the community as a whole, in having a deeper appreciation for it and having kind of maybe a deeper understanding of it. And then also walking away with, you know, healthier practices, you know, making sure that you're making wise decisions both in your purchasing and in your smoking practices, like, you know, being the kind of consumer that are being the kind of person that fits this community, and being a community that fits the kind of consumer that really benefits kind of the industry as a whole. That would be, I mean, I think to some extent, all of us who are creating content around this space, I hate to speak for everybody, but I think to at least a certain extent, if two out of the three, two out of three points, that all of us kind of at least connect on some of those.
Yeah. Man, great discussion, man. I mean, I have two thoughts. It's like, well, you know, we'll see how we do, and you know, see you in 2070, right?
That's right, man. That's gonna be good.
we'll compare notes.
Here's the real question: what kind of pipes will our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum be putting out in 2070? Do you think they'll float in the air? Do you think they'll be little drone pipes, or maybe hyper speed?
For some reason, I think they're going to be made of very simple quality materials, like a solid corn cob and high quality stems, and all the good things that you associate with a Missouri Meerschaum pipe.
Man,
so,
you want to talk about pipe as art form? Look, you need to go down to the headquarters at Missouri Meerschaum and see what they've got going on over there. I mean, it's the museum factor is glorious. I mean, it's essentially an art gallery.
It is. It is. And a museum, like you said, it's a place of history. And of course, they have on display things that they've come out with recently, but also things that, date to the late 19th century, all the way back to their 150-year, history. The building itself is an incredible option. Of course, if you go there, you're able to, purchase things too. They've got a beautiful retail shop right there in Washington, Missouri. So if you are traveling through that kind of, Mid-America corridor right there through St. Louis, Kansas City, it's a very easy detour to make, and you should take it. One of the things you might pick up while you're there is a gift set from Missouri Meerschaum. They have lots of great gift sets, and one of the ones that we love the most is the Cobbett Collection. Mm. It is a three-pipe gift set that is just very handsome. It comes in a nice display case with a fitted place for each and individual Cobbett pipe that is there. Three pipes, and it's just a really handsome gift set that will give your hobbit feet a stomping reason to continue to smoke.
So check it out. Be sure that when you do, you take a selfie of yourself enjoying a good Missouri Meerschaum pipe. We love to retweet those out to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know. We appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week coming in from Relio Dilio Yo on Twitter. And this is this is so good. This is a great question. And I don't know if it was meant in jest or in all seriousness, but I think it's definitely worth diving into after last week's episode. Here's what he says. After last week's episode, I'd like to know, how much do I need to spend at a shop to be welcome the next couple of times without spending money? Do I need to spend money every time I go into the shop to smoke? What is the etiquette? I think that's an excellent question.
That's a great question. Yeah, it's funny. Gosh, yeah. I mean, that's a really good question.
It's a really good question to throw to a retail shop owner.
A retail owner, right? Not just the host of a podcast, exactly. Related to pipes, but a retail shop owner. Yeah, obviously, gosh, this is difficult to answer. So, we do pay attention to what the folks using our space are consuming, right? For those that are lucky enough to be in an area with a pipe shop or cigar shop that is, interested in, catering occasionally to some pipe folks, we do pay attention to the people that are, hanging out in the lounge, using the free Wi-Fi, drinking the, the crummy coffee in the back. We pay attention to what they're consuming and what their preferences are and things like that, and where they're getting it too. So, do I have any kind of dollar amount on, like, I think it's just kind of a courteous thing to, make sure in our shop. My thought is, make sure you're trying to regularly support the shop. That doesn't mean you have to do it, purchase something every time. But if you're, smoking in there, try to smoke a product that you bought at their shop, even if it's something very small. If you do get the sense that the shop owner is, welcoming of you, smoking something there that you got somewhere else, be sure to purchase your other things there. Get your pipe cleaners there, get your tampers there, and your check tools and your, leather pouches and things of that nature, if they have any of that kind of stuff. I think it's a game time decision kind of thing. You have to make it up as you go along. I certainly welcome all kinds of folks in our shop, but we do ask that folks support us. I don't know. I can't, really, Odelio, I can't tell you, man, you need to spend $25 every time you go in. No, that's stupid. Like, man, just come to our shop. I don't care if you spend a dime. But, at the same time, as you consume stuff and you're hanging out around, just make sure occasionally you're, helping provide this for the space and things like that. And I think, the effort that you take there will, your retailer, if they're a decent human, will appreciate just a little bit here and there that you do.
And if not, you can send those feedback onto our future Pipe Shop Fails
episode, right? Yeah. If they're real crotchety about it and shame you about it, then we have a whole episode dedicated to that coming out in the near future.
All right. Great question, Relio Dilio Yo. And hey, if you've got a pipe question for us, be sure to send it in. show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire question, Jones. All right, man. Quick fire questions brought to us, of course, by the awesome Country Squire Radio t-shirts available at thecountrysquireonline.com. All right. These are coming in from Mark VV. Man, we haven't heard from Mark. I mean, we hear from Mark all the time. We hadn't heard from him on the show in a minute.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here we go. This is a Hot in the Deep South edition. Well-timed. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Maybe I should have checked these first. Bathing suit or Speedo?
Bathing suit. Hard decision. Next question.
Yeah. Bathing suit. Now, if Brian Levine were here, you know, we know where he lands on that one. Next
right,
one.
We'd spend more time on that one.
That's right. Popsicles or Freezy Pops?
Freezy Pops. I like that. I'm assuming he's talking about the little things in the plastic sleeve that taste like, like sugar water. I love those things.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is I'm mostly actually more associate those as a different consumption method for like a snow cone, just based on the flavoring and consistency.
Yeah. Okay.
And popsicles, you want to talk about having a product renaissance. Plus, popsicles are in right now.
There's whole stores that sell nothing but $4 popsicles. That's
what I'm talking about, man. Boutique is experience. I mean, like popsicles and beer and anyway, that's a whole nother thing. I'm going to go with popsicles. All right. Mint julep or gin and tonic? What a great question.
Yeah. Gin and tonic, full stop, but
really? You're not even like going to mildly consider the mint julep?
I love a mint julep.
I was about to say, your Southern cut is about to be revoked after that.
No, I mean, look, I mean, everybody knows I'm a gin and tonic person. I mean, that's just, that's been well-established fact for over 300 episodes. I don't apologize for it, but I love mint juleps too, but this is an either-or question. I mean, I like popsicles and Freezy Pops, and I only like bathing suits, no Speedos. But if I have to pick between one or the other, I'm going to go with gin and tonic.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the mint julep. Of course, you got to. I don't actually own a julep cup. Do you?
Okay.
Do you own one? Like the silver? Yeah, the julep cup.
A Speedo?
The julep cup, man. The silver goblet.
I do not. I do not. We have our local watering hole here in your old neighborhood, Bellhaven, Bo. The Fairview Inn, the library lounge there. They serve them in that, and I've always wanted one because of the experience I've had there. But no, I don't have one.
But yeah, I don't either. All right, and then finally, hurricane torrential downpour or cooler temperatures or sunny and bright but blazing hot humidity.
Okay, if I had to pick between the two, gosh, I guess I'd go with sunny and bright but blazing hot humidity. I mean, who wants a hurricane torrential downpour? I don't know. Gosh, that's like picking between, two of your least favorite restaurants or something. I don't know.
that is tough. I mean, I feel like in Houston, I can't say anything with hurricane in the name. But to be honest, I'd rather have the cooler temperatures than the, muggy is bad. Did I tell you about the house almost flooding like right after we moved into
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oof. That's a tough one. yeah, I guess it's sunny and bright, I guess. Ugh, that's tough. At least that way the house doesn't get destroyed.
You even kind of hold your nose having to answer that, right?
Yeah, that one's rough. But anyway, great questions, Mark VV. Excellent hot in the deep south questions for us. And hey, if you got some quick fire questions for us, show@countrysquireradio.com is the place to send them. And thecountrysquireonline.com is the place to find some awesome Country Squire Radio gear. Get yourself some. Take a picture of yourself wearing it. It's a great way to let us know that you appreciate us for supporting the show. Doesn't translate as well.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
All right, listener feedback. Okay, I've been looking forward to this one, man. I really have.
Yeah, good.
Okay, so this one is an iTunes review we got in. Now, man, we've been very blessed by the listeners showering us with amazing iTunes reviews. We've consistently maintained a five-star rating for the last almost 7 years or however long it's been. And it's very, very rare, like so rare that this is the first time that we've ever read one of these on air. But we don't normally get negative criticism. If we do, it's mostly, based on that bow guy on the show, but beyond that, we kind of wrestled with this one a little bit because I feel like this is important to read on the show because I think there's some good points that are being made here. All right. This is coming in from Jay of Scottsdale. Jay says, some good information. The amount of time it takes to get to the point on this podcast is way too long. I just skipped the first 15 minutes, which can be painful, quite frankly, and a lot of their jokes are getting old. Once they get to the content of the podcast, there is some useful information as well that is well presented. The podcast is definitely worth listening, and the presenters are likable. And that was about a 3 out of a 5 star. So, you know, that. Obviously, this is coming from somebody who enjoys the show and values the show and theoretically is listening right now. And so I just want to say, Jay, I hear that, man. Like, there are certain jokes that we've even a couple weeks back, even before I think we read this, there was one in particular where, like, you know, we need to kind of lay off this one joke because it comes up way too much. And I mean, part of that is because for a lot of new listeners, they hear some of those jokes for the first time, they write in and they kind of want to play with them. It's like a re-spinning wheel of some sort from that standpoint. But I do hear that, and I think there's some really good feedback there. Also, you know, yes, the show, we do try to keep the housekeeping items to under 10 minutes, but it does seem like lately it's gone to closer to 15 minutes. And so I just want to say I hear that, and we'll be working on that in the future. Any thoughts, John David?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a testament to, man, people that care about us and want us to do better in their mind. And man, we're just appreciative of the feedback. We have been blessed over the years with, pretty good reviews, and we're proud of that and thankful for it and appreciate, you know, folks for sending those in. But we welcome all reviews and are glad to share them as well. And so, Jay of Scottsdale, man, we just appreciate your feedback. And man, hope you keep tuning in. And, you know, if it's something you want to revisit down the road because your experience gets better, man, we'd love to hear from that too. But man, thanks for the feedback. And I definitely understand, and we just appreciate you being willing to pitch in.
Absolutely, and that's the great thing. We can make adjustments going forward, and if you enjoy those adjustments going forward, you know, consider adjusting your review to a 5 stars. Those are always well appreciated, Jay. So
always anyway, welcome. Yeah,
thanks for listening, brother. All right, man. This has been a really fun episode. You know, I always love kind of doing kind of a look into the future of sorts, and this is definitely one that we've talked about kind of pipe smoking in the future before, but I don't think we've ever gotten this kind of specific. I've really enjoyed it, and we want to actually hear your thoughts though. If you've got some thoughts on where you see pipe smoking in the next 50 years, you know, this was all very kind of conceptual, theoretical, and you know, many of you out there, especially those of you in the industry, I'm sure y'all have got some thoughts that we'd love to share on the show. So send those in, show@countrysquireradio.com. You can also keep up with us throughout the week. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop @_CountrySquire.
And of course, the show's handle is @SquireRadio, but all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. You know, I almost kind of want to do the Jimmy Kimmel thing and say our apologies to, Lee Eric. We ran out of time or something of that nature. But one way or the other, man, we're really looking forward to having Lee on next episode. So be sure to tune into that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, man. We went back to the future. We went pipe to the future.
Sounds like it's time to go have a week.